So we in part three of our sermon series on God's voice. I've said before that I believe it's something that I highly value in my life, and it's a real kingdom living exercise to hear the Lord's voice daily. And it should be so normal for Christians to hear the Lord's voice. Who of you guys have heard the Lord this week speak to you? Who of you have hungered for His voice but yet kind of not sure? Amen. Well then, praise the Lord, you're here. We're going to trust that the Lord speaks to us. Quickly, a foundation which is very important in this whole series is that there's a couple of things that we need to make sure that we have, because otherwise haughtiness and pride can kick in. Even the flesh can kick in. We can start thinking it's God's voice, but it's not. So the things that we do need as a basis of foundation for this series, and it might be a number of sermons, by the way, so buckle up, is we need the fear of God. We need the Word, the Holy Spirit, and His body, the church. We can't major on the Word, or just major on what we think the Spirit is, or just major on a bunch of people. We need the balance, because I believe it is in the balance of Jesus, the Word, Jesus, His Spirit, and Jesus, His body, the church, that we will be able to well distinguish what the Lord is actually saying. You've got lots of people thinking lots of things that is actually God's voice, which it is most often not. We need humility and teachability, childlike faith, honesty and accountability. And I'll say that each and every time because it's so important as charismatics is that sometimes we think it's the Lord and might end up seeing the fruit of that. It might not have been. And then we need to say, hey, let's chat about it. We're mature enough to grow together. There's a safe space. Was that actually the Lord? And be accountable in a loving way with one another. Who's open for people to talk to you about that you actually hear from the Lord? Amen. That's actually good. I think it's so necessary and so healthy for us to grow maturity. And the last thing that is a very important basic is the fact that each and every one of you that confess Christ as King, Jesus as Lord, you can hear the Lord's voice. You can hear the Lord's voice. So make up your mind. We did a quick intro. We had a look at creation. Then we went on, and this is where we're going to keep on going today. Why do we need the voice of God? Why do we need the voice of God? Just quickly, we think about it every week. Hopefully, you meditate on it during the week. But why do you need the word, the voice of God in your life? Anybody? Conviction? Direction? Guidance? Relationships? Comfort? Yes. Why do we need God's voice? Fulfillment, truth, identity. Yes, we said that it's life. Yes. So there's a number of things, and today we'll see why it is so important. So the first why we use this, we said Jesus is actually not only the way to hear God's voice, He's also the example. So last week we looked at how did Jesus relate to God's voice as a human? If you missed out on the sermon, go and listen to it. But it's very simply, He was affirmed in His identity by the voice of God. In Matthew, right at the beginning, beautifully affirmed. And if you've not had the privilege of the Lord affirming who you are, ask Him. Because the voice of the stranger, remember the first part, is going to and fro, trying to what? Trip up, ankle tap the people of God. Constantly. It's His job. Father of lies. Deception. And so if I do not know who I truly am and I've not been given that grace as Christ received by God, I will stumble and struggle. So that's the first and foremost, the most important thing. Before you want to know about the next job or the breakthrough or this relationship or that sports event, no, you want to know who you are. And you want to know it from the source who made you, your Father who loves you. And so we looked at that. I can't stay and hang too long. So we're still continuing this week and the next time I'll be preaching on why do we need God's voice. But the second one is, the voice of God sustains you. Do you know that the voice of God keeps you alive? If it was not for the voice of God, we will not be here. We would be dead. I'll show through Scripture, both in the Old and New Testament, that it is God's voice. It is all that comes from His mouth that sustains us. And it is important. So I'm going to jump right into an Old Testament Scripture in Deuteronomy. I'm going to read it first. You'll see what highlights, what is highlighted for us and what is important. And then after that, I'll quickly give a quick context of this particular scripture. Who was it written to and why was it written and who spoke these words? But let's quickly read verse 1. Be careful to follow every command I've given you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land the Lord promised on oath to your ancestors. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years. Who knows more or less the Old Testament? Who's talking to who here? Seriously, really, guys? So Bible School Online, that announcement, just by the way, if you want to register, speak to Edna, Karin, to myself. Okay, no, it's Moses speaking to the Israelites. You all knew that, right? Anyway, moving on, verse 2. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and test you. Remember those beautiful words, to humble and test you, in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna. So he humbled you, he made you hungry, and then he fed you, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. I'm going to say that again because we're going to look at it quite often today. To teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out, and your feet did not swell during these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, a good father in other words, so the Lord God disciplines you. Who loves a bit of discipline? Less hands. Maybe you didn't hear the question. Anyway, let's move on. Observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in obedience to him and revering him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land. You see, good plants. Who likes good plants? Now all of a sudden, a couple of more hands. Into a good land, a land with brooks, streams, and deep springs gushing out into valleys and hills. A land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil and honey. A land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing. Who likes that idea? By the show of hands. Yeah, come on. You're human, you're breathing, you do like that idea. A land where the rocks are iron, and you can dig copper out of the hills. It sounds like a pretty good place. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. You see that thankfulness? Something we expressed earlier. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God. Who's ever struggled with forgetfulness when it comes to God? Yeah. Failing to observe his commands, his laws and his decrees that I'm giving you on this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase and all you have is multiply, when all of a sudden things are really going your way, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Now, quickly, the context here, Deuteronomy 8. Now, Moses is speaking to the Israelites. They firstly were saved from slavery out of Egypt. For 400 years, they meandered in Egypt as slaves. God led them out through Moses, Aaron helping him out, doing the chatty part. And then they went on a 40-year journey, which could have been an 11-day journey, apparently, because they had a couple of things that they needed to deal with. So Moses now... Moses now speaking to them. And what is he doing? He's doing three things. He's reminding them of God's provision throughout the time in the desert. Who's ever been in a desert season? Cool. Can you remember how God provided? So he said to them, guys, remember God tested your heart. He humbled you, but he provided for you. He gave you manna to eat. He provided for you in that time. Remember that. Then he not only tells them about what happened before, he's now prepping them, good leader, for what is coming. He's saying, hey, do you remember what's going to happen in the promised land? Now everybody's like, yeah, talk to me. It's like an infomercial, but wait, there's more. Who remembers those? Yes. We didn't have anything to watch on TV, so we watched some weird toaster. And the guy would always say, but wait, there's more. Now Moses is doing the "but wait, there's more" part. And he's saying fig trees, barley, wheat, pomegranates, olive oil, honey. This land is fertile and really good. Everybody's like, yes, where do I sign? And then he goes on to give them a bit of a challenge. He says, hey, there's a danger that you will be forgetting God once you get there. Be careful. So Deuteronomy 8 is just him prepping before Joshua comes along and leads them into the promised land for which they've been waiting, well, at that stage, 440 years, if not longer. But God is saying, I want to bless you and multiply. This is the reason why I'm leading you. This is why I'm loving on you. This is why I'm speaking to you. But be careful of this thing that you might trip up. Now, I believe those three things is applicable to all of our lives. Remember what he's done before. Remember what he's calling you to. And remember that what you want him to do and what you're trusting he will do faithfully for you and in your life. Once you get there, please don't think it's you, because it wasn't you. Remember the desert. Do not forget the desert. Don't forget the desert. Because, hey guys, we might snigger at the Israelites. I mean, how stupid can they be? Because see what he did. The sandals and their clothing did not weather at all. They were given this amazing food supernaturally daily, but yet they forgot. Hey, here's the thing. If you've got a flesh, the tendency of our human nature is that we can end up doing the same. Let's quickly look up. Did a bit of a comparison there, because I believe it's through trials and testing that we get to know God's voice. So we're doing this series on God's voice, and everybody said, I want to grow in God's voice. But I see, biblically speaking, and God can have other moments where he also teaches you that predominantly often uses tests and trials where you get to know his voice. Who likes that idea? No hands. But he uses that what? Because he needs to know, because he actually needs to show me what is in my heart. I'll tell you about Malmesbury just now for those that don't know. But anyway, next one says, God allows a hunger in us. So for Israel, he then gave manna. They're out in the desert, thousands of people, nowhere to go, nothing to eat. There's near 7-Eleven, there's not a spar. There's not even a nice takeaway or a drive-through. He needs to sort it out. So he creates the space where they're hungry, being tested. The stuff in their heart comes up. And then he still graciously provides to them. For us, I believe he gives us his voice. As the manna fed the Israelites, so today God's voice feeds you. Do you believe that God's voice feeds you? If you're really hungry, you feel it's a bit of a famine, or you're famished because of lack, it means you need to hear from the Lord. Because as they got the manna, today as well, we get his voice every day. They needed to get manna every day. Did you know that they could not keep today's manna for tomorrow? Who likes leftover pizza or braai vleis? Yes. Now all of a sudden everybody's awake. Unfortunately, manna doesn't work that way. You needed to go fetch and pick up your own personal manna daily. There wasn't this guy with a nice idea saying, don't worry, I'll pick up the manna and then I'll just send you the bill. No, that doesn't work that way. Intimacy with Jesus, intimacy with God, is I need to fetch my own manna. Even my kids sitting there at the back, I'm just like, Jesus, please, have them pick up their own manna. May they hear your voice, not through me, not through a mic, not through my fathering per se, but may they hear your voice. Moving on. His commands and voice always leads to life and life in abundance. Spiritually, firstly, but I believe also very often, just life and life in abundance. Those things that he speaks about in Scripture. It always sustains and leads to prosperity, but then what happens with them and can happen with us, we become arrogant and self-reliant. Who's ever had the breakthrough and then it kind of gets under your skin, you end up a bit of in the flesh, and then you become arrogant about it, thinking it was you. I didn't mean you have to put up your hands on that one, but thank you very much for the honesty. But we all have that tendency. Once the breakthrough comes, we like switch off, dial off on the voice of God part. And we're like, whoa, check this out. And we need to be so careful. Lord, help us. Because if you forget his voice, you end up in trouble. or you can stay intimate with Him and in relationship, and that is what we need. So quickly, for those that are new, those that have forgotten, Edna and I, the Lord calls us out in the early 2000s to move to Malmesbury. I thought, yes, because we called, we're going to change the place. Revival's going to come. Why? Because He called us. But in the same instance, she left the job. We got one kid because I was a lawyer, and then I got retrenched. And so most of you know the story, but for those that do not know the story, following God's voice to another dorpie, and then ending up being without a job, one kid, and later on two kids. Does that sound like a South African story or what? We actually had a Toyota Avanza at some stage, and so we were having kids, having a big car, but no finances whatsoever. And then, especially in Malmesbury, we really got persecuted for that. Really got persecuted. Job's friends came around and just saying, is it my theology, Johan? Or, okay, cool. Johan and I have got a standing joke about something. So in Malmesbury, we were persecuted for the fact that we were not earning any income, but yet we were waiting on the Lord and praying and doing stuff in church. But yet the Lord had called us there. I thought I was going to get this nice corporate job. I'm going to have this nice big salary. And from there, we're going to have this nice, cushy life. And I would be as nice as to say that I will lead a small group. I will go on a mission once a year. And when I'm very old one day, I won't mention any numbers. When I'm very old, I'll go into ministry. God said, oh, that's a nice cultural idea. And He turned it upside down. Without income, living there for 3.5 years, having to try to trust the Lord and grow in our faith. And so what happened in that desert season? I had a plan. I thought this was actually nice, but it was actually cultural. And the Lord came and He allowed a testing to happen. I just wanted the nice career, the nice salary, the nice home, and all the benefits that goes with it. And the rest I will gladly offer my other 10 minutes of my life to Jesus. That is not the gospel. I kind of thought it was culturally all right. And so the Lord turned that upside down. And then we went into the season where we were left, it felt like, with nothing. It wasn't the case. But there was a gracious anointing of the Lord in that. But we had to grab hold of His word. We all of a sudden had to start listening to His voice. And so what happened is that I needed to be with Him daily to survive. Who's ever read Matthew 6? Do not worry about tomorrow, for today has enough trouble of its own. Who's ever read that He will look after you as well as He looks after the birds and the flowers of the field? My paraphrasing. And so I had to learn that that is not just a nice poetic message written or shared by Jesus to them. No, that was actually truth. And the scripture, the voice of God, had to penetrate my situation and become a life source to me. Now, spend some time over coffee with me or Brian. I'll share more of the details. But the one thing that kept us alive in that time was the Word of God. Godly examples, the Word of God, and godly people around us that also heard the Lord and could attest to it. Because culturally, it was frowned upon. It didn't fit into the mold. Whose life has sometimes not fit into the mold? Yeah. But there's one that is scriptural that we need to test it upon, and sometimes He calls us into those testing seasons. And that was the place for me. So I love the Lord's voice because of the necessity of having to survive in that time with a family, two kids, and saying no to two corporate jobs, law jobs that was offered to me at that time. Because that sounds what? That sounds ungodly. But the Lord was saying, you need to follow me. I'm busy with something deeper. I'm just busy with something in your life, and I'm busy building a foundation. And I needed to learn a tough lesson. I'm just going to say it as it is. I needed to learn that God keeps us alive, not money. I'm going to say that again. It took 3.5 years. Now and again, He gives me a quick quiz test to write again. But I needed to know that a salary will never keep me alive. God will. He will give life to me, not a paycheck. He will give life to me and my family, not money. I had to learn that. I'm not saying that's your mission. It might be if it's scriptural. But that is what I had to learn in the desert. And He had to show me what it meant to me to wear a suit or be in court and do big deals. He needed to sort out my heart, which He did. What I can say and attest to that time is that I needed scripture, and there's many of them that kept us alive. I needed prophetic words of other people. I needed accountability to think that I've not lost my mind. And the Lord led us through the desert just as Israel, but He kept us alive daily speaking to us. His voice will sustain you where His voice calls you. I want to say that again. His voice will sustain you where His voice has called you. I think somebody needs to hear that. His voice will sustain you where His voice is calling you. Man shall not live of bread alone, but of every word that proceeds from God's mouth. I learned that in that beautiful desert season. Sometimes I need to just think, I want to go back there. There was a sweetness to that season, a sweetness to the fire that I can't explain. I miss that. I miss the evening, sometimes in tears with the coffee and my Bible, and that felt like it's all I had. And the Lord just whispers His truth. What was that? Walking with feet of faith. It was the only thing I had to walk with feet of faith, as Petri sang and ministered over us earlier. Are you walking only with feet of faith? Going from spaces and places because of His voice. Because imagine, and there's been many of them, and we don't judge in our hearts, but imagine a life of 70, 80, or 90 years. Imagine a life of 70, 80, or 90 years, and all you ever lived for was for the bread you can eat. Imagine everything was just to survive and eat the bread, but not for the voice of God that can sustain you in all of life. I'm not saying it's one or the other. Please don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm speaking about godly gospel balance. Are we hearing each other? Man shall not live of bread alone. Man needs bread. If you do not work, you will not eat. The word also says. So I'm not saying we should just, God, speak to me, fill me. No. He says, then might call you to do an odd job, but ultimately we live for His voice and living spiritually, not only to keep this body alive. But imagine a life of 80 years where it was all about just surviving to put bread on the table. And it never included a spirit-filled, Christ-centered life. And I believe that is what we are called for as children of God and as we follow Him. Deuteronomy 8:3 says, He humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known. To teach you that man does not live of bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. That manna was they've got many references and ways to explain it, but it was supernaturally given to you, just as much as it's supernaturally given to us when He speaks to us. It keeps you alive spiritually. It not only keeps you alive spiritually as it did in that time for us in Malmesbury, but from that place, as He led us, the Lord then also provided the bread. Who knows, Matthew 6 says, seek first the manna. Seek first the celery. Seek first the bread. No, it says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And guess what? All this other stuff that the world so much worry about will be added unto you. Now, what that looks like in a personal context is difficult. Because just as we were in that situation looking like absolute fools, we needed the word. We needed other godly fruit-bearing people to say, hey, if there was deception. Otherwise, you can just believe bubbles and say, I'm seeking the kingdom. No, man, you're seeking comfort. You're not seeking the kingdom. So we need to be careful not just to jump onto that. I, at some stages, would phone up my accountability partner and I would declare to him, I am deceived. Will you please go and pray and just confirm that? That was how warm the heat was in the desert some days. And I'm sure this happened. I'm sure now. Now I know I am deceived. And then he would be like, oh no, God spoke to me 2 days ago. And He prompted me, I need to give you X amount of money. I'm like, well, firstly, why are you only phoning now and telling me now? But secondly, God had already prepared. But I was convinced I'm certainly deceived now. Why? Because my life looks nothing like the world. It does, however, look like something in Scripture. And I want to say to you, if you've been tested by the Lord, if He's allowed a testing to show you what's in your heart, not to condemn you, but to bring you to freedom, do not waste your test. Do not waste your test. But keep soft your heart. Do not waste your desert. But say, Lord, I want more of Your voice. Because of Jesus, You speak to me constantly. Because You love me, You want to guide me and lead me constantly. You will never manipulate me. God is not a manipulator. I've said this recently. He's so much not a manipulator that unfortunately people go to hell. I will still manipulate my children in discipline. And I repent. And God is helping me. Sorry for the confession. But He's such a good, loving, perfect God that He will never manipulate. But we can say, Lord, I want to see, allow the testing, allow this season so that I may grow in Your voice. So if we look at that scripture, by the way, that Hebrew word, kol is come. Every word that comes from the mouth of God actually means by all that comes from the mouth of God. This came from the mouth of God. But His Holy Spirit speaking to you comes from the mouth of God. If Petri, which I believe he was, is in the Spirit ministering to us corporately, comes from the mouth of God. If somebody speaks a prophetic word into your life, comes from the mouth of God. If by consequence you might think, but if the Lord sovereignly speaks through a song into your life or whatever the case may be, if you open up scripture, I won't always say that's the way you need to read the Bible, but if you open up and Romans 5 speaks directly into your situation, that is by all that comes from the mouth of God. We need His Holy Spirit, we need His Word, and we need His people in our lives. So that's the Old Testament. We've got 6 minutes for the New Testament. Let's quickly jump into the New Testament. So we've learned from Deuteronomy these words, man shall not live of bread alone, but of every word that proceeds from God's mouth. It is the hunger that we need to work on. It is our hunger, because He speaks. And we said this last week, we're not going to give a formula in this series of how to hear God. No, it's a hunger that is needed. Because if you're hungry, you're going to hear Him because He speaks. So how beautiful is this? In the New Testament, guess what? Jesus gets tested. Where again? In the wilderness, in the desert. So Jesus gets tested, and one of the things that happens is the following, and He actually quotes Deuteronomy 8. And the tempter, that's Satan, came and said to Him, if You are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. You see again this thing of being constantly worried about food and the natural means and the natural things we need, which is natural. And He says, well, here's your breakthrough. Just tell this buckstone to become a loaf. Just tell this thing to become food. And then again, Christ just comes with scripture. And He corrects the accuser. He corrects the tempter. But He answered, it is written, man shall not live of bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And in this case, in the Greek, it is rhema. It is also something that Nick referred to, I believe. Rhema word is when the Lord speaks to you. When you just know that He's speaking to you. So I might time and time and again refer to Malmesbury and Matthew 6, and it might just flight you by. But you know, it became a rhema lifeline to me. It was not only word, it was spirit. And it kept us alive. It kept my faith alive that I didn't think I've lost my farkis. I've lost my marbles. Because the Lord spoke to me through scripture. Not only that, but He spoke to me in a number of other places, and I'll quickly refer to it just now. But you know, Jesus as well said, man shall not live of bread alone. So He acknowledges we need to eat, we need to live and survive. But then He goes on to say and quote that, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. Guys, all this summed up, I want to just say, having God's voice in your life is not only charismatic, it is not a nice to have, it is essential. To be a true Christian and a true follower of the Lord, to truly live in your identity and calling, it is essential to be sustained by the Word of God and the words that come from His mouth. Yes, that is Scripture, but it also includes His Holy Spirit, God with you, Emmanuel, talking to you. You hearing and then obeying. It is essential. It's not a nice to have. It's not a gimmick. It's not something you have got on your streaming system on TV. It's not an app you have on your phone. It is it. To hear all from His life and for our lives. So we will be sustained, not only survive, but thrive. Why is it important? Because it is ultimately what we need, firstly, for relationship. Through that, He commands, His directions and commands are given to us. Through it, He gives us faith. Through it, He gives clarity. Through it, He gives safety and security as humans. Through that we know the prophetic future. Through His voice we eternally know what He is doing, and we can be eternally focused. And as I said, lastly, through that we know we are what we called for. Do you know how many young believers are out there not knowing who they are or what they're called for? Who they are, what they're called for. This is essential for us to know what the Lord says. Quick two testimonies just in that Malmesbury season. I have shared this before, but just beautifully how the Lord sets you up and speaks, and it keeps you alive. It sustains you. It's not always easy, but He sustains you. So right at the beginning, as I was still working as a lawyer in Tukai or Steenberg, I drove through from Malmesbury in one morning, and I have shared it before here. The Lord said to me, "You will not even smell of smoke." Who knows where that comes from? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego saying that they will not bow down to the king. In my case, I was called not to bow down to the pressures and the fears of the culture. And that was my calling in that season. 3.5 years without an income or a real job. I had to not bow my knee. And the Lord was actually just forewarning me, and I knew that immediately as I heard those words, "You will not even smell of smoke." I'm like, that's not a good thing, because it means a fire is on His way. And that was exactly what it was. But it was not only one word. There was many things that the Lord spoke to us. I remember many times I was thinking, "Lord, I've given up my career. I've got all of this, these responsibilities, all of these things. People are thinking you've lost the plot." And then the Lord will just give me Psalm 138. Like, "Oh, I forgot what's in there," and I'll open it up. "The Lord will fulfill His purposes for you." I'm like, sure. That's worth more than a check, guys. I'm sorry, but that's worth more than many things of this world in our human heart. Man will not live of bread alone. Not only that, I saw Matthew 16 saying, "For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for Christ's sake will find it." And I'm like, okay, well, at least there's a scripture that can back this. If I've now lost and thrown away everything, I will find Him. If this is Him, I will find Him. And scripture became alive. It became real. To really live and survive, we need to know what God is saying. I want to ask you just quickly before we end off, and we'll land it now. Do you know what the Lord is saying into your situation right now? Do you? Because He wants to speak to you. On my way here, I'm like, "Lord, we're doing the why, but I want to ask You why Your voice." And I clearly sense the Lord drop in my spirit, "Because I love You." That's why He wants to speak to you, because He loves you. He wants to speak to you into your situation, whatever you're facing. He loves you. These scriptures are echoed just very briefly. John 4:31 says, "Meanwhile, His disciples urged Him." So this is the Samaritan woman part, standing at the well. Late afternoon, this lady gives her a prophetic word. The disciples went off to go find food. They come back and say, "Rabbi, eat something." It's like, He says, "Come, eat itchy." But He said to them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." It's like, what? Did He make you a Willy's meal gebring? Then His disciples said to each other, "Could someone have brought Him food?" And then He says these beautiful words, and I believe it ties into what the Lord is saying to us today. "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work." My food is something else. Do you understand this, guys? We're speaking now spirit man to spirit man. We're not speaking to flesh. We're not speaking to culture. We're not speaking to our carnality. But it's exactly what Jesus said to them. "Hey, guys, you're thinking about food. Yes, we're going to have bread. But I've been satisfied. I'm filled up." Why is Jesus full? Because He's got another type of food. Have you ever seen people that have got very little in life, but they have a beautiful intimacy with Jesus? And it honestly looks like they lack nothing. "It is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work." God's voice is food unto our spirit, man. God's voice not only leads us to supernatural, spiritual food, but it actually, from that place, blesses the rest of our lives. And by the way, the bread will come. Not only that, as we eat from the Lord, hear from Him, and do the things that He asks us to do in obedience, Because we're not sitting and waiting with a pina colada until he fetches us. No, if we do the stuff that he calls us to do, it satisfies us. Who's ever had that buffet that Nick referred to? Had this beautiful lunch, had Christmas dinner and Christmas Eve dinner and Christmas Eve whatever dinner. It's the only place where you'll sit and they're having lunch and they're thinking about what we'll eat tomorrow. It's crazy. But you've had all of those feasts and yet you are not satisfied. Is that not the kind of life that we sometimes find ourselves in? But Jesus says, hey guys, let me tell you the trick. Here's my food. I listen to the Father and then I do what he asks me to do and I'm satisfied. Not only that, this is my own part. As I do that, the Lord cares for me. I'm satisfied in all ways. I've got another testimony or two, but we don't have time for it. I want to ask a very simple question. Do you live for the food from his mouth? Do you live from the food that comes from his mouth? Or am I caught up for 60, 70, 80, or 90 years? Let's say 100, throw it out wide. So constantly worried about bread. But yet he says, hey guys, it's not about the bread. It's about the fact that I sustain you through leading you, loving you, speaking to you, affirming you, showing you, fathering you, and being your Lord and Savior. And do you live for the hidden food of Jesus, which alone will satisfy you? As we end off, I know Annelise came to me a couple of years ago and she just had this calling on her heart. God had spoken to her about Mercy Ministries. Annelise, have you been satisfied in eating the food of his voice, in leading you to do that in these times? Has it always been easy? No, but that's not what we're saying. Have you ever walked away thinking, wow, thank you, Lord. Sorry that I'm putting you on the spot. There's many of you guys and I can do exactly the same. I've often not been very keen on going for a coffee with somebody. Don't follow my eyes. No, I'm joking. And I would be depleted. Okay, I saw this in your joke. But the point is this. The point is this. Even your flesh is weak. When you allow the Lord to do what he's called you to do, be obedient to what? What has come from his mouth, you do the work of Jesus, you walk away thinking, well, I've got the best job in the world. I've got the best job in the world. Sometimes I would stand here, three knives at the back, but I would walk out of here after the Lord has pitched and turned some lives upside down, and I'm like, thank you, Lord, I'm satisfied. And I've had some good steaks in my life, thank you, Jesus. But it's better. It's better than anything we can delight in and love and enjoy in the flesh. It is the lifestyle that he calls us to. And we end off with this, now for real. This is the real ending, I promise you. We go back quickly to the Old Testament again. Isaiah calling us not to think so carnal and to think more spiritual. To, yes, eat the bread, but say, hey, you're actually not living for that bread. You're living for the bread of life, which is actually not such a schlep to get. It is through faith. Come, all you are thirsty, come to the waters and you who have no money. I love that. It is for all of us. Come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Everybody's going like, what? Why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Hear these words. Listen. Listen to me. Again, as we've been saying and will be saying, what is the Lord saying? Listen to me and eat what is good, and you will delight in the riches of fare. Give ear and come to me. Listen, that you may live. Why do we need the voice of God? Listen, so you may live. One thing I can testify about, and Edna's known me for all of these 21 years of being saved, it's because of the grace of him speaking as my Father, that we've enjoyed, not an easy, but enjoyed a really fulfilling life. From small pockets and small moments to big jumps and leaps. Sometimes correction and discipline and helping and leading and healing up my heart. This I know. Listen, and you shall live. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that you're a God that speaks to us because of Christ. Thank you, Lord, that you speak into our lives. And you call us again as a church saying, listen, listen, and you shall live. Lord, forgive us for falling into the trap of having to work and to sacrifice so much for the bread of this world, for the bread of the flesh, for the bread that keeps our bios alive. But Lord, we pray that we will be a people that seeks the manna that comes from your mouth, all that comes from your mouth, Lord, through your scriptures, through your Holy Spirit speaking to us, and through your godly people, fruit-bearing people speaking into our lives. Make us a people of your bread of life, Jesus Christ. We ask that in Jesus' name. If you just want to shift your eyes from the carnal bread, the physical bread, more to Him and His voice, and that's your heart cry after today, that's your conviction, just raise your hand and we will pray. Thank you, Lord, for these hands. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you will help. You will help through your body. You will help through your word, and you will help in those intimate moments sitting at your feet. Thank you, Lord, that we may declare, and I pray this over us, and everybody who's got their hand up. Man shall not live of bread alone, but of every word that proceeds from God's mouth. May it be so in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen.